Mine
is also Shana Hilana? Yeah? Some people don't learn on New Year's Eve?
This is the bliss, not that.
What? Halachically speaking, if a woman could say when they say a bracha on the wedding, halachically speaking.
I don't think so. She may say it.
Huh?
She may say it.
I mean, it's not like a double shkazush or something like that. And one more quick thing. You had once mentioned, I was looking up as a shadow, a person in the novel has your sight on Shabbos, whether he can say his Shabbos or Yomer or not. So we're not focused on that. But you once mentioned it was someone that said the whole meaning, but not the novel, about standing on Shabbos, and a strange meaning to begin with.
The key egg on the bottom of the Yeridea, right? We don't know. The reason Havad the Lalosa follows, shouldn't add on extended to more than what it means. Last week we left off in the Gemara on Kuv Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara, right in the middle of the Amud, Kuv Gimel Amud Aleph, quotes from the Mishnah that states, Min ha'kuvo lamaylo chalitzosa psula, min ha'kuvo lamato chalitzosa ksheira, that the cutoff point on the right leg of the Yavam is the knee. What exactly does that mean? So we learned several times, we discussed the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that if the leg of the Yavam, of the surviving brother, is amputated, if the foot is cut off and the bottom part of the leg is cut off, but a little bit of the leg is left, remains below the knee, then all he has to do is put a shoe on that part of the leg that remains, and she can do chalitza, remove that shoe. And Taisa says that's ridiculous. If the foot is missing, so what kind of a shoe on what foot? That's a leg, it's not a foot. So but the Mishnah says a difference between above the knee and below the knee. So Taisa quotes the Yushami, that it means, Taisa is right over here, Manda Mazgi. So they give a completely different interpretation, and the Mishnah means that this chalitza shoe or the boot goes up the legs. So if it goes very tall and you have the straps, what we would call shoelaces, and then the chalitza shoe is like the tzuas of tefillin, very wide straps. So you crisscross, you have two straps. One comes out from the right side of the shoe, one comes out from the left side, the front, like shoelaces. Except the shoelace is one shoelace that goes all the way through, and here it's two separate straps. And then you cross them in the front, you cross them in the back, you keep on crisscrossing around the leg. So if it's tied up above the knee, and then the Yavama unties it from above the knee, and then she removes it, that's no good. But if the knot or the bow is below the knee, then it's okay. That's how Taisus interprets the mission. That's how we paskin. We're machma like Taisus, that if the Yavam is missing the right foot, can't do chalitza with the left foot, and you can't do chalitza with the stump of the foot that's left, so what do you do? She's stuck? So the din is no, then you do yibum, and you give the get. And then it's a question, what if you have to do yibum and then give a get, so what if they decide they want to do yibum and leave it like that? If you're already stuck, usually we don't allow any yibum based on the opinion of Abba Shol. We discussed it anyway. On Daf Lamed Tes on the base, Abba Shol has a machlokes with the Chachamim, whether the living brother, the Yavam, is permitted to do yibum if he's not religiously motivated to do the yibum. If he does the yibum because she's attractive or because she's wealthy or because he finds it difficult to find the shidduch, now he finally found the shidduch, but he's not really motivated to do the yibum to marry the yavama l'shem mitzvah. He's not really doing it l'shem mitzvah. So the Chachamim say it doesn't matter, so what? And Abba Shol says no, since you have a problem of Reish Yisach, so the Yisr Reish Yisach only is lifted if he's religiously motivated. That's what Abba Shol says, very difficult opinion. It's probably only with the Rabbanim. Many Rishayim say it's only with the Rabbanim. But whatever it is, that's what Abba Shol says. And Taisus says on the Daf, on the Tassimay, that's how we pass him. But you're only allowed to do Yibum if you religiously motivated. So therefore the Mishnah says, the very last Mishnah, and the first parak in Chori says that Bizman Hazah, we don't allow anybody to do Yibum because Nismatu Hadoros. And people today, we assume most people today are not religiously motivated. We think that he's probably only interested in doing the Yibum because she's attractive, wealthy, or whatever. But if it wouldn't have been one of those reasons, he wouldn't have wanted to do the Yibum. So then we never allow anybody to do the Yibum because of the Hashash. Maybe he's not doing it in the Shema, maybe he's not religiously motivated, in which case he would be violating the Yisra of Eish Yisrael. So that's generally speaking, we don't allow Yibum. What happens if he's missing his right leg and you just can't do Chalitza? So you say the woman has to remain an aguna for the rest of her life? No. So then we say we do allow them to do Yibum. We tell them, motivate yourself religiously to do the evil. Do the shame mitzvah, don't do it the shame noi, and don't do it the shame moment, don't do it for any ulterior motive, do it for religious purposes. And once you're already allowing them to do Yibum, so who says he has to get divorced? The issue of getting divorced is on the first bia. Is he doing, does he have a heter or does he not have a heter? So whenever it's Belay's Breire, the woman is going to be an Aguna unless you'll allow him to do Yibum. So once you do Yibum, why do they have to get divorced? Unless he doesn't want to remain married with her. So then the only way to free her Lashuk, the only way to allow her to marry, she's a young girl, she's a young woman, let's say the Almana. So the only way to be Mata her Lashuk is to do Yibum and to give a get. But what if they have to do Yibum and then they don't want to give a get? They'd rather live together and peace and harmony. So that's a deal that the past can discuss.
The religious motivation that you must have, is that what to be in the
song? I don't think so.
Have you to be a shiur?
Probably.
So that's not just a question.
I mean, maybe the first deal will be religiously motivated, the others not. Okay. Okay. Right today, punk today, I was looking for a tshuva about something else, and dying grossness is safe for Levi, so I said he has a tshuva about this. I saw in the title, in the table of contents, and Chelik Avanez, and Levi, Chelik Bess, he has a tshuva about this. In a situation where we allow them to do Yibum, namely this type of a case, would we insist that they have to get divorced after the Birishanim? Would we say, no, they do Yibum, so remain like that. Why do they have to get divorced? And Mustami brings up this point, is it only Birishanim, or is it the consequent? Huh?
Is there sometimes a thing that a woman can't get married more than three times, assuming that her husband is a guy
that
gets divorced?
The Gemara says if the husband's died, that's an Yibamus taka in Sama. Two or three husbands die, we're machmen for two. Two husbands die,
mysteriously, right.
So then we have to be choshesh that maybe the source of death is her fault. What do you mean her fault? The Gemara has two ways of understanding what that is. Either means that there's some physical sickness that they're picking up from her, or because Min HaShemayim, they want her to be a poor woman. That they want her husband to die, that she should always be poor. No one should be in the finest. So then, if there's a real Hashash, if you are number three, so you may die, so Mishum Sakone, you're not permitted, no one is permitted to do anything that's dangerous to his life. That's the sibling in Yerudei Echel Beis. So then it's not permissible. Then it's not permissible. The Rambam writes in a tshuva that the whole thing is baloney. The Rambam writes that the whole thing is a baba maisa, and that the Gemara is talking for those people who are nervous. So when do you have to be nervous, when not? That's what the Rambam writes. He doesn't quote any of these dinim in the Yad HaZaka. He says the whole Gemara is only for nervous people, so we try to convince them when they shouldn't be nervous and when they should. But in the Shulchan Aruch they say it's not for nervous people, that it's a real hashash, it's a real deal. So then the post can discuss if there's a situation where neither hashash applies, let's say the woman has a big Yerusha from her father. She's independently wealthy. You can't say to Min HaShemayim they want her to be poor. She's wealthy, what do you mean? So her parnasa is not dependent on her husband, so that reason wouldn't apply. And then if we know the, let's say, if they weren't living together anyway, they just married, all the people that married, they weren't living together, issues. So then you can't say that there's some kind of a disease that she's transmitting to the husband. So then the other Hashash wouldn't apply. If you know the cause for death, you know the cause of death, so then only the hashash of mazel, that maybe Min HaShemayim they want her to be poor, to be miserable, maybe only that hashash will apply, the other one will apply. So in the Shulchan Aruch they work out all the details. Whenever you can remove both hashash A and hashash B, then there's no issur katlan. But the Gemara only has it about a woman who had two or three husbands die, and the Gemara seems to treat it as a real din, and the machlok is whether it's two or three, and we're machmer too. But by katlan is if two husbands die. What if the husbands were divorcing her? That doesn't appear beferish in the Gemara. That's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. At the end of the second parak in Yevamos, Rashi and Tosfos have a machlokes on Chovot and on Aleph, the top Tosfos on the Yomot. So Rashi learns in the Gemara that if a woman got divorced two times, there's also a din of katlan, not katlanes. Katlanes means the she's bumping off the husbands. Katlan means to kill. Katola means to kill self. A katlanis means a woman who bumps off her husband. Like choylanis. What does a choylanis mean? Choylanis doesn't mean a woman who's sick. A cholo means a woman who's sick. Choylanis means a woman who makes other people sick. In Yiddish you say a choylanis. But in Hebrew a chole is a man who's sick and a cholo is a woman who's sick. Katlanis means one who bumps off others. A choylanis apitash means one who makes other people sick. So there's a machlegis here, Rashi and Tosfos, a girsa, a shayla of a girsa. So Rashi has the girsa in the Gemara that if a woman was divorced twice, so we wouldn't allow her to marry a third time. Tosfos says there is no such thing. The top Tosfos, the one-line Tosfos on Chovam and Aleph says there is no such thing, there is no such halacha. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quote the Rashi though. The Ramah says that we recommend that a man shouldn't marry a woman who was divorced twice before. What's the issur? What's the issur? So Moshe Feinstein writes and says, what's the issur? To marry a woman who had two husbands die on her, that we can understand what the issur would be. If the Gemara really says it is a chashash takana, so you're not permitted to do something that's dangerous to your health. It's forbidden to smoke, and it's forbidden to go skiing, and it's forbidden to do wild meshuggah nezachim. You're not allowed to do crazy things. Rabbi Yehuda has a tshuva. It's forbidden to go hunting because it's a sakana to your life. Right? It's a far-fetched sakana. So he says, you're not allowed to do far-fetched sakanas either, unless it's an accepted thing. Like, if someone works for the phone company, so he has to stand up on the telephone poles and hang up wires and whatever. One is in construction, he has to do. But for panasa, people do all kinds of things. The pasuk says, a love who knows say it's not show. A fellow puts his life in danger in order to make a panasa. So to make a panasa, that we understand that it's permissible because that's the minhag ha'olam is that people do it. But if there's no normal tzorah, Stami wants to go hunting for fun. Not that he does it for panasa, he wants to do it for fun. So the Rebbe Yehuda has a tshuva that's quoted on the bottom of the Yerideh, the Cheshchita, that it's forbidden to go hunting for fun or anything that has any slight sakana to your life if it's not something that's really a hachrochi is the good thing. Like skiing. So a lot of people break their legs when they go skiing. Can't understand how do they go skiing. So Rav Moshe says to marry a woman who's a katlan is that we can understand more or less why all the Rishonim assume against the Rambam that it's really awesome. They read the Gemara that it's a davish yesh mishum sakana, that it may be detrimental to your health. What's the story by Gerishin? If a woman... Oh, so I mean it's an Eitzah Teva. That's already not an Issa. That's the Chachamim. Rashi says the Chachamim are recommending that if the woman got divorced twice and you don't know what the cause for the divorce is, you have to be Choshesh. Maybe she's a witch. Maybe she's a difficult person to get along with. So we recommend, don't marry her. You may be the one, you may also fall in and have to get divorced. You may have... Sorry. Right. 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 So you see, that's what Rav Moshe Tain is. You see that even according to Rashi, it's not really an Issur. It's not that it's forbidden to marry the woman. The Gemara is telling you it's a Teiva. Why do you have to look for trouble? The problem of Katlan is that may be a real Issur.
The two sons, well, it didn't look like it was her fault. It was their fault that they died.
The Chumash says that it was their fault, right. But they didn't know, the people at that time. The Chumash tells us the secret that they had sinned, and that's why they died. But at that time, the people didn't know what to attribute their death to. So some of Arshma Chumash learned shot that the reason why Yehuda was afraid to let the third son marry her because she was a Katlan. Exactly. Right. But the truth of the matter is that she wasn't a Katlanist. Because the reason for the death was that they were Bali Aveir.
The reason for the question was, her first husband died. Now she has to go through this one night ritual. Now she wants to get married a third time. So the guy would say, I don't want to marry you because you've been divorced once.
Divorce and a death would not combine. Right. That's one divorce with one death are not combined together. But if she lost, if two husbands died, that's an issue of
Katlan. So she gets divorced from this fella because of this trick, and now she gets married and she has to get divorced again. Now she wants to get married a third time. Can they go? Does this marriage really count?
No, they were just married for one day.
No,
the Shulchan Aruch says you always judge. Is there a hashash sakana? Is there a hashash that she's that she fights for her husband? They were just married for one day. Right. So many Rishonim say that b'maka mitzvah you're not choshish for this problem of kaplanis. And the Ramban of Chumash writes not so. Ramban writes the reason why Yehuda didn't allow his third son to marry Shelah, to marry Tamar, was because he was afraid she was a katlan. So you see that even b'maka mitzvah, he also forbid one to marry a katlan. Other Rishonim say no, the Shema mitzvah related over Rak. The one who's doing a mitzvah even does not have to worry about any problems of katlan. The Paskim discussed that Ramban al Chumash. Does he really disagree with the other Rishonim who hold that the Makom Mitzvah is Mitzvah? So this is the Gemara. The Gemara is quoting the caption from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah draws a distinction between above the knee and below the knee, whatever that means. According to Rashi, means if a little bit below the knee remains from the leg, you can do chalitza by putting a shoe on that little bit of the leg. And Tosfos says, no, it means the whole foot is left, but where are the straps tied together, above the knee or below? So you see from the Mishnah, whatever the pshat is, whether like Rashi or like Tosfos, you see from the Mishnah that the cutoff point is the knee. It says in the Chumash, V'chol tzanal ami al raglo, The chalitza has to be done from his regel. So you see that the regel extends all the way to the knee. So the Gemara asks, it's not true. The Chumash says that there's a mitzvah on all Jewish men to be oiler regel 3 times a year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Rashani Yom Kippur is not from the Shalosh Regalim, so there's no chiyuv aliyah l'regel. Yom Ha'atzmaut is also not from the Shalosh Regalim. The mitzvah of aliyah l'regel is only on the Regalim, on the Shalosh Regalim, on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, not on the other Yom Kippur. So the Gemara in Chagiga darshins from the word Regalim. It says in the Chumash, Regalim, so we imply from that Lashon that one who is missing a foot and who has a wooden, let's say his part of his leg was amputated, and he put in a wooden stilt, a false wooden stump, in order that he should be able to walk on that. So the Gemara calls that Balei Kabid. If a person had a kab, it's a piece of wood. So if he has a kab, let's say his leg is cut off and he walks on crutches, or let's say the leg is cut off and he has a piece of wood there that enables him to walk, he has a false foot. So as long as he's missing the foot, so he's pata from aliyah regel, because the braisa says regalim prat lebalei kabid. The one who only walks with a wooden piece of a wooden leg is pata. So the Gemara asks why, but it would appear that even if he's just missing the feet, even though he has minha akuva lamata, even if he has the legs, both of the legs exist below the knee, he's still pata from aliyah regel. So the Gemara asks, so the mini, we have a contradiction. Our Mishnah says it up until the knee is called the leg. And then we say, Pata Balei Kabid, that anyone who walks on stilts, or anyone who has a wooden foot, is Pata Maliola Regal. So you see that only Mamish, the bottom, what we call the foot, only the foot is the foot. And above the ankle is already not the foot. So the Gemara says, you're right. So also I should say the foot is only up until the ankle. And above the ankle, even though it's below the knee, is not part of the foot. But Shiny Hacha, here by Chalitza, is a special exception to the rule. Yichsiv Chalzanala, May Al Raglo, May Al means from the part that's above the regal. We had the drasha already earlier in the parak. You can do the Chalitza even not only from the regal, because it doesn't say the Chalzanala, May Raglo. It says May Al Raglo means either the shoe should be removed from the foot or from the leg which is above the foot. Craig the Gemara, if that's so, Ihochi, if you darshan from the word May Al, that you can do chalitza even from the part that's above the foot. According to Rashi, the kasha is even if the leg is amputated above the knee and you have part of the thigh is left, so why not just put a shoe over there and have the yavama remove the shoe? Even anything that's above the foot is good. Once you get to the body, it's not. But any part of the leg above the foot should be good. According to Taisus, the kasha was if the shoe straps are tied on the thigh, above the knee, should also be good. Everything is mayal. So the Gemara says no, that we require dafka mayal, the loy mayal, the mayal. Not if it's twice removed, then it's no good. So up until the ankle is regel, from the ankle to the knee is mayal radloy, and above the knee on the thigh, that's mayal the mayal, and that's no good. And then we had a discussion on the previous daf. The real pshat mayal, as opposed to mayal the mayal, means between the ankle and the knee, as opposed to above the knee. On the thigh, that's me'al de me'al. On the previous daf, the Gemara discussed me'al ragloi, the chatzitze, that you shouldn't allow the yavam to wear a sack on his right foot, when he wears the chalitza shoe. So you shouldn't have any chatzitze. And then the Shulchan Aruch, they say, but even machmir, not only should he not wear a sack, we have to wash his foot off. Just like when a person goes to mikveh, so we want to make sure that there are no chatzitzes, so you tell the person that goes to mikveh to brush their teeth in advance, and they should comb the hair and wash their body with soap and warm water, and to comb out all the hair on the body to make sure that there are no chatzitzes. So here also, the rabbanim take the right foot of the yavam, and they bathe it with soap and water, make sure that there's no dirt, and they come to cut off his toenails, just like when a person goes to mikveh, that the toenails might be a chatzitzes. So here they tell him they should, either they cut it off, or they tell him he should cut off the toenails, on his right foot, that the toenail shouldn't be a chatzitz. The chosh is for all the chatzitz is possible. So many poskim say that that's only a chumer b'yalma. Because mi'ikar adin, that's not what it means. Me'al v'loi, me'al de me'al has nothing to do with chatzitz. The pshat is what part of the leg is good for chalitza. So the foot is good, and the leg in between the ankle and the knee is good. And above the knee, the height of the thigh is not acceptable. It really has nothing to do with chatzitz. But that's a chumer that the Rishonim have, because the Gemara on the previous daf discussed the possibility of chatzitza. And then the Gemara, even though the Gemara rejected it, so the Rishayim developed a minik to be mekayim to have a minik. Strange minik. Now the Gemara is discussing why is the section of the leg between the knee and the ankle considered me'al de me'al. This is of course on the assumption that the whole foot up until the ankle. We consider the part of the leg from the knee to the ankle as me'al, because the whole foot from the ankle and below is called regel. So the Gemara says, why should I consider the whole foot as regel? The Gemara seems to be debating an issue of biology, Pasha. Is the whole foot one piece, or the separate bones in the back of the foot and the bottom of the back of the foot on the heel? That's what it sounds like. That's what the Gemara sounds like it's debating here. Omar HaPapa. So HaPapa makes a comment. Sounds like it's a biological comment. And we mentioned that some Sefer Yeshuva says that it's not a rule. We'll get to it. Omar HaPapa. Shmamino. From this whole discussion, we can infer the following biological point. Highest Tevira, the bone that goes from the ankle down to the ground, Ad Aranochis, goes all the way down, straight down. The Yisal Kataitach Mipsik Pasik. If one should assume that from the knee to the ankle is one bone, then from the ankle going down to the foot, to the bottom of the foot, there's more than one section there, there's more than one part. So the Gemara says, Havale ihu me'al. So the bottom part should be the regel. Whatever is the bottom part is the regel. And then the upper part of the foot, even though it's below the ankle, should be me'al. And then from the ankle to the knee, is already me'al to me'al, so it's already no good. Such and the fact that the Mishnah says anything below the knee is acceptable because that's me'al ha'regel, so you see that everything up until the ankle is one unit. So it sounds like... That's what it sounds like he's saying. That's what it sounds like he's saying. He's saying that biologically that everything below the ankle is one unit. Right. If below the ankle there's a joint, there are two different sections biologically, and the bones are two different parts, then that upper part that's below the ankle should be me'al. Right. And then in between the knee and the ankle should have already been me'al, the me'al should be no good. That's what it sounds like he's saying. And the next mandama says, no, Rabashi.
Right.
So from the ankle to the knee is one unit. That goes straight. Now from the ankle and below, is that biologically divided up into two parts or one?
There is another joint.
That's what the Chassam Sofer says. What are they fighting about, whether there's a separate joint or not? Why did they dissect the body? They didn't have to dissect the body. The Tanaim already dissected the body. How did the Tanaim know that there are Ramach Evarim? What does mean Ramach Evarim? Every joint in the body is considered an Eva. An Eva by definition means Basa Gidin Batzamas. When you have a whole bone, and you have a little flesh out of it, you have a little Gid, a little sinew, right? So you have Basa Gidin Batzamas, that's called an Etzem. So the Gemara says this is one Eva, is another Eva, a third Eva, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the Gemara counts, right? The Gemara counts how many Evarim? The Gemara counts Rechenzois. The Tanayim, the Maseches Pcheres, count that in a male body there are Ramach Evarim, and in a female body it's a different count, depending on exactly what you count as bones and what you don't count as bones. So the Gemara already quotes Tanayim, who figured out how many joints there are in the bottom of the foot, and what tells you how many they are. That's what the Chassam Sefer asks over here. That Rav Papir and Rav Ashi are arguing about biology. Take a dead body and then see how many pieces they are. Don't take a dead body, take a Brais and Pcheres. They already took a dead body. Take a Brais and Pcheres, and it says, everybody knows that there are Ramach Evarim, that's based on that Brais. It's a Mishnah. Ramach Evarim is a Mishnah in Aholus. There is a din in Aholus that if you have Rav Evarim, Rav bones of a mace, the din is that a mace is Matami. Mace is Matami Ba'oyah, but that's only if you have the whole mace. But if you only have a little bit of the mace, you must, if you have a kazais of flesh from the mace, a kazais is the size of an olive, half an egg, in a room, so the whole room is tummy. That's also the tummy blood. What if you don't have any flesh, you only have bones? So if you have etzim kisa'ora, you have a piece of bone That's the size of a barley grain. That's very tiny. That's mitame benaga or the masa, but it's not mitame ba'ohel. It's not mitame ba'ohel. So how much bones do you have to have that it should be mitame ba'ohel? So the Mishnah says in a whole, so in the first parak, Rav Minyan or Rav Binyan of the dead body. Rav Minyan means if there are Ramach 248 bones. The Ramach Ivar means there are 248 bones in a male body.
125.
So 125 is right. So the Gemara reckons ice in the price. So how do you get Ramach Ivar? So the Gemara tells you all the different parts of the foot. So it's clear from the Gemara how many parts there are on the foot. And then Rav Binyan means the tall bones, even though they're not the Rav Minyan, the Rav of 248, but the long bones, right? Let's say if you have the legs, let's say you have the bone from the bottom of the leg, and the bone from the thigh, and the bone from the arms, and so on, even though it's not the majority of the bones, there's some total of bones of the body, but it's the Rav of the Minyan, of the structure of the body, even though it's not a Rav of the Minyan of all of the bones, that's also Matami Boyal. So the Gemara there makes the calculation. How do you know that they're Ramach Ivar? So that's what the Sam Sefer asks in his tshuva. It's very strange over here. Rav Papa and Rav Ashi are fighting about a biological issue which already was decided. Take a dead body and dissect it. Or look in Pcharis, look in Aholis, it tells you how many bones there are in the foot. And Rav Ashi disagrees with him and he says, no, even if you should assume that below the ankle it's more than one unit, there's more than one bone, sections, nevertheless, called the Bahavikara Kikaradomi. We treat the whole foot as one unit. So what are they fighting about? Pilikman. So the Chassam Sefer has a tshuva we mentioned last week. The Chassam Sefer has a tshuva where he explains they're not arguing in biology. He says they both know that from the ankle and below they're separate sections, but they're fighting about a different thing. They're arguing al pi din. He has the following tshuva. Somebody asked him, somebody sent him a shaila about a man whose brother died, Billy Bonham, and the wife named Chalitza. And the living brother had part of his foot cut off. So let's say the toes were cut off, but the rest of the foot is there. So you don't have the entire regel, but you have part of the regel. So can he do chalitzis? He says yes. Some say right, yes. Bein the Rashi, bein the Tosfos. According to Rashi, as long as he has anything below the knee, he can do chalitzis. And even according to Tosfos, that we're machmir for Tosfos' opinion, that you have to have the foot, but you don't have to have the whole foot as long as you have part of the foot. So what if not only the toes are cut off, what if half of the foot is cut off? So as long as you have a shtickle from the foot. So now comes the shaila. What if you have part of the foot below the ankle, but the lower joint, the lower section of the foot is missing together with the whole front of the foot. Whole front of the foot is missing, the toes with the foot and everything, but you have a little bit below the ankle till the next joint. So he says that would depend on a machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Ashi. And he tries to be mevarer that there's a machlokes in Rishonim how to paskin. He quotes the Maharshal. Maharshal has elaborate discussions here in the Yamshel Shlomo. And he has a lot to say, especially on mitzvahs chalitzi. He has more than on the rest of the Mesech, because he talks about all the chumras and tying the knots and everything. He has a discussion on the Sefer. So the Chassam Sefer wants to say that this is the machlokes between Rav Ashi and Rav Papa, and there is a machlokes in Rishonim how to paskin. So he tries to be machlir what the din should be. The issue that they're fighting about over here is they know what the biology looks like, that there really are separate parts below the ankle, but the machlokes is one al pi din. So Rav Papa says, Shmam, you know, from this we can infer, not biology, we're not learning Hilchas biology, we're learning Hilchas regel. Highest of it. We raised the question a few weeks ago. The din is that the chalitza shoe has to cover up, has to be chofer, has to cover up Rav HaRegel. So what's called the Rav HaRegel? So it has to cover up, has to be a boot that covers up most of the leg up until the knee. No, even according to Rashi, that if you have part of the leg, foot missing and part of it is still there below the knee, it's good. But that's not called the regel, that's called Mayav HaRegel. So what's called the regel? So our shoes don't really go all the way up until the ankle. My shoe is like an inch below the ankle, there's a lot missing over there. So we said that that's only, if it's only Chayf HaRegel, the regel is only good for the Yevid. Whenever you have a mitzvah, and you rely on Ruba Kukula. Ruba Kukula is only good b'di'evit, but l'chatchil you have to have kula. We said l'machatchil are b'kaisis on Pesach night. It says in the Gemara that you say Ruba Kukula, if you drink Rav Kais b'di'evit y'yotz, but l'chatchil the proper thing is to drink kolakos. So you also, chalitza is a mitzvah. Chalitza is not only a matir, that by removing the Yavam's shoe, the Yavam becomes muteres l'shu. Pesach points out at the very end of Nida, Daf Samach Vav, and the Pesach chalitza is also a mitzvah. There are raya that it's a mitzvah. that you have things that are only lahatchila that are not miyati b'riyevid. You have the rikika, the spitting, you have the kriyas apsukim. So that's only in order that the mitzvah should be b'shleimuso. But the b'riyevid, if you just do the chalitza, the removing of the shu, she's already mitaros lashu. So it's clear the chalitza is a mitzvah. We just said it's a machlekes and achreinim. Is it a mitzvah to do chalitza even if the yevamah is 95 years old and she's not interested in remarrying? Or is it only a mitzvah in the event that she's interested in remarrying? But it's more than a matter. That's what Tais points out clearly. It's a mitzvah. So lachatchili should require that the shoe should cover kol haregel. And the yevet, if it covers rev haregel, it would be sufficient. So what's called kol haregel? What's called rev haregel? Halacha l'maaseh. How do you determine what part of the foot below the ankle is called regel? Do you say the whole foot, everything below the ankle is called a regel? You draw a circle around the leg at the point of the ankle, and anything below that is called regel? Or do you say no, that only the lower part, the lower joint of the foot is called regel, the part that's flat on the bottom, and the upper section of the foot that's below the ankle is not really regel? It's a different thing. So that's a shayla in din already, that's not a shayla in biology. In biology we know there are different parts. So it's a shayla in din, so Rapapa says, Shmamino, we can infer from this that it's tevira arara nochis, that we consider al-pidin, the entire foot below the ankle is considered regel. And l'chatchila, the shoe should cover the whole foot, not like our shoes. Our shoes would only be good for the yevet. Our shoes are behemoth male. Our shoes are horse leather. So according to the Rabbi Natan, wouldn't even be good for the yevet. But let's say we would have shoes that would be from all behemoth to hoira. It would only be good for the yevet. It wouldn't be good l'chatchila because it doesn't cover up kol haregel. Because our puppet claims the whole foot up until the ankle is considered foot. These are the mefsik pasik again. Because if you should assume that the fact that biologically it's a separate part, it's the lower part of the leg, lower part of the foot, and the upper part of the foot. Our alpidin is recognized alpidin as two different sections, and only the lower part is called regel. The part that goes straight from the toes, it goes straight to the heel, and the upper part of the heel that's in between the heel and the ankle is not part of the regel. So he says, so why not consider that upper part of the foot right below the ankle as mayal? And then from the ankle to the knee is me'al to me'al. So you see that al-pidin, everything up until the ankle is considered regel. And Rav Ashi said, nah, he doesn't think that that's necessarily halachically goes go. Maybe al-pidin only the bottom, the part that goes straight from the toes and the foot that sticks out straight to the back to the heel. The lower part of the heel is called regel. The upper part of the heel that's immediately below the ankle is not called regel. I said, why not call it me'al and then above that is me'al? Nah, since it's all one hemshech. So that's not called me'al de me'al. That's okay. But really in Hilchus regel is only the lower part. So Chassam Zev says, l'chapa big nafkemina. They over here, they're just arguing in abstract. They're not giving an nafkemina, but he says, l'chapa nafkemina. How do you judge what's roig haregel? How do you judge what's kol haregel? L'chatchila you need kol haregel. So what's kol haregel? Does it have to cover the entire foot up until the ankle or not? Or l'chapa nafkemina, in his shayla, if you have a yavam whose toes were cut off and the foot was cut off and the bottom part of the foot was cut off, but you have a little bit of flesh below the ankle, you have that upper section above the heel and below the ankle. Same thing. Even Rashi would agree that it's no good. Right? He's born that way, even Rashi would agree it's no good. Right. But let's say you have, Rashi says that if it's cut off, it's still good. But we don't pass, we're not making like Rashi, we're not going like Tezis anyway. Whether he was born like that or he had a normal foot and he was amputated later, we would say it's no good. You can't do chalitza unless you have a regel. But the regel doesn't have to be the shleim usai, there's only that part of the regel. So the Chassam Sofer says, that'll be enough kamina ledina. If you have part of the regel, namely below the ankle, but you don't have the whole heel, you only have the upper part of the heel and the lower part is missing. Lower part with the whole front of the foot is missing. So he considered saying, so that's a machlekes Rav Papa and Rav Ashi. Would be good l'chatchila, right? Because it's choy for kol haregel. It's choy for kol haregel. It just doesn't cover the upper part of the heel. That's not part of the regel. That's just in hilchus me'al, and me'al the me'al, it doesn't bother me, Rav Ashi says, but it's not really part of the regel. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes in his Shuva. That's the machlekes. An interesting pshat. Because he doesn't want to say it's a machlekes in biology, because he says, look in Pcheres. They knew what the biology was. It wasn't a secret. They knew the Mishnayos and the Aholos. And the Braisa says they cut up a dead body. The Gemara says they cut up a male body, they cut up female bodies. Nochrim, they're not permitted to cut up Israel. It's an evil amen. But Nochrim, where there's no mitzvah, is Kvura, so there's no use in evil amen, so they cut up. It's hard. The one who asked the Chassam Sofer, the Shaila, that the fellow was missing part of his foot, So he says, missing so much and so much, some says, he says, I don't know what you're describing. If you would have a photograph, he'd know. He says, I don't know what you're describing. I'm going to give you what the dinim are, and then you see what it is. And some say he describes explicitly what he's talking about. The upper part of the heel and the lower part of the heel and the toes, and all this goes straight and crooked and so on. He explains it. That's the Gemara. Okay, so what do we see from the Mishnah that the word regel and chumash, what did we just ascertain? The word regel really only means the foot below the ankle, or maybe even only the bottom of the heel. The upper part of the heel may not even be included in the term regel. So the Gemara asks, min ha'akuv olamayla. And we just said that the regel is only the bottom. So the Gemara says, Masi Rav Kahana, how can it be? We have a pasuk in chumash in the middle of the Teichicha, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause the Jewish nation to suffer so much that there will be... This was fulfilled in the Nazi persecutions, that during the war times, some of the people killed their own children. Some of the people ate the dead body. They had no food to eat, so in order to stay alive, they killed their own children and ate. They went crazy, so they ate the flesh of their own babies. So the Pasuk agrees, "V'shul yosah hayotzeis mipein rak leha," that the mother usually has more rachmanis than the father. That's why the part of the body that the baby is born from is called the rechem. Rechem is lashon rachmanis. The mother has more love and more tender care for her babies than the father. So the Pasuk says that even the mother, the tzaris will be so great, the Teichicha describes the tzaris will be so great, the mother will not have rachmanis on her own baby, b'shul yasoh, it comes out from in between her feet. So where does the baby come out? From all the way up, the upper part. So that comes out from in between the thighs. So what do you tell me that the word regal only means all the way down on the bottom, on the al haregal means below the knee. This is even higher than that. This is above that. So how does the Chumash describe Shul Yosah Yotzeis Mibein Raglel? Oh, so that's what the Gemara says, that sometimes when the women give birth, Amar Abai, Bishosha Karas Lele, when the woman is kneeling, when she's in a position of labor and she's about to give birth to the baby, sometimes Noetzes Akiveho B'Yirei Chayseho, she will sometimes bend her knees completely, so that the back of the heels will be dug into her thighs. And then when the baby is born, it's coming out from in between her thighs, and it's coming out from in between her feet. The feet are there when the baby comes out. That's what Abayi suggests, Pshat Nefos. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a good interpretation on that Pasuk in Chumash. What about the other Pesukim in Tanakh? It says, Toshma, there's another Pasuk, Lo Yosa Raglo, Lo Yosa Sfamai, it's describing a person. That's describing the Eber HaLeido. It's not describing anything that has to do with the feet. What do you mean, Lo Yosa Raglo? Rashi says he didn't cut off Lehesis Seir Zokan Atachna. Zokan Atachna, Zokan Hell, you means the beard that grows on the face. And Zokan Atachton is a euphemism. That means the Seir that grows on the Eber HaLeido, on the basal area. So the Pasuk describes, I forgot who the Pasuk describes, the fellow didn't cut, he didn't trim his mustache, Le also Svamai. I don't remember. It says he didn't trim his mustache, Svamad, but he also Raglav, and he didn't cut the hair in the basal area. So that has nothing to do with the lower parts of the leg. That's all the way up on top. So the Gemara says that's a Lashon Nekiyah.
The man didn't?
Yes.
I thought you got supposed to cut.
No, the Gemara says if a man shaves off the seir basal area, if a man shaves off completely the hair under his arm, so that's a question of some Achlekes Nizmar Nazir. Whether that's Le'il Bashgeva Simlas Ishtar. Le'il Bashgeva not only forbids a man to wear dresses like a woman, it forbids a man to do activities like a woman. But if he just trims it, that's permissible. Let's say to trim a beard, to trim a mustache, to trim, let's say, the Seir base or whatever, that's permissible. See, so there is no way to interpret the Pasuk. So the Pasuk means the... on Radlov doesn't mean anywhere near their feet. So the Gemara says that's a Lishna Malia. That's a Lashon Nekiyah. Just like we call it Zokan Atachta. Again, the Gemara says, Toshma, Vayavashol Lohasech Es Raglov, David cut off the corner of his beged in order to show that he could have killed him, and he didn't because he really had respect for him. He wasn't out to get him. So it says that he had to go to the Beis HaKisei there. So the Pasuk says, Lohasech Es Raglov. What does that to do with Raglov? It has nothing to do with the feet. It has to do with the Aver, which is well above, which is above the thigh. Marsh says again, that's a Lishna Mag, that's a Lashon Nekiyah. Yeah, Meir Adlar. Toshma, another pasuk that says the same. Achmesach who is ragla becheder hamikira. Same thing. Meirag, right? The Moses again lishlemalia. Then the Gemara quotes again a pasuk. Ben ragla karana fal shachav. It says by Sisro when he was running away from the armies of Bnei Yisrael. So he hid by Yoel Eishes Chever Akeni. So it says Ben ragla. It doesn't mean between her feet. It means that they were mezana. She was mezana with him. The Gemara says again lishlemalia. That's a lashon akir. Okay. So the Gemara says he can't ask any kashas from Tanakh because the Pesukim use Loshen Akir. So now that the Gemara just Derech Agach quoted the pasuk that spoke about Sisra and Yoel, the Gemara now goes off on a completely tangential discussion, which is a very important discussion, but has nothing to do with this parak, about that parsha. That it says in the pasuk, the simple reading of the pasuk.
Can you work for anything above the
Shok.
So,
yeah,
the only time that you refer to it that way is by learning with, is like with a car bomb in Bayitra.
Right? I don't know if that Yerach means the time. I think that means above. I don't know. Must not be over here. Yeah. Yeah. That means the time. Yeah.
I think in the Torah,
Yeah, it's the shy. Yeah. Well,
tap
means what? The bottom of the
bottom
of the foot. Right. And if we are trying to get rid of the bottom of the foot, that's the bottom of the
upper part is
not.
This will be some kind of
contradiction. No, the bottom of the foot is certainly the regal, that's for sure. The top of the regal is certainly the regal. The only shy is how high is the regal?
Yeah, but it's only a fraction of the regal.
I mean, it says kaf raglucha. Sounds like that's part of the regal. I don't know. Could be.
It might be from the arch inside, though. The arch inside. That's the top regal.
Could be mean the bottom, the part that's below the regal. Right,
below.
I don't know.
Because the that's
the mouth
anyway, though. No? That's describing the mouth.
No.
The top regal, I
wrote. Ain't by my song. No, it's in the beginning of the shine. People.
When the Torah brings something like
a red line,
what is the
Havadim?
The
Havadim
that actually could line could mean
Mamish,
or does it need
teach us
Russian
Kahim? No, we're most trying to ascertain. Maybe a biblical Hebrew means something different from spoken Hebrew.
That's the Havadim.
Yeah, we're trying to ascertain. How did the Mishnah figure out these din? Below the knee and above the knee. Maybe it's not so. Maybe it's based on a different pasuk. Maybe it'll have ramifications for other dinim. What's the din taka for kiddush adayim raglayim? I forgot to look in the Gemara Chulin. The din is that kohanim have to wash kiddush adayim raglayim, have to wash with water on their hands and on their feet before they go do avodah beis hamikdash. So kiddush adayim raglayim is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos on the yodayim. The kohanim, when they go to duchen, have to wash the same way they would wash in the beis hamikdash. The hamish have to wash in the beis hamikdash. The machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says till here. We're makel. The Kohanim don't wash till here. But they have to wash till here. A lot of times I see the Kohanim have their wristwatches over there. And then the Levim are pouring water. So obviously, if they have a wristwatch very low, obviously the Levim are not pouring all the way till here. But until they're dying for bread, the din is mikaradin. That's also a machlokes. And mikaradin is enough if you wash till the knuckles. Just till here. So the chumre, we are machlokes like the other opinion in Rishonim that you wash till the wrist, but if it doesn't go all the way to the wrist, as long as it covers past the knuckles. But for Kohanim to Duchen, they're supposed to wash. The Gemara in Kol Abasa says, beginning of Kol Abasa, Masaf HaSchulin. The Kohanim have to wash for Duchen in the same way they would wash in the Beis HaMikdash, Kiddush Yadayim. They don't wash Raglan, but they wash Kiddush Yadayim. So Kiddush Yadayim is a Machlokes is Rashi and Tosfos, whether it's till the elbow, which we don't do, or till the wrist. So Chach, we should do till the wrist. A lot of people don't do that all the way. But I don't remember. The Gemara probably says exclusively, how much of the regal did they have to wash? The Chorek, based on our Gemara, they should only have to wash up until the ankle.
No, I don't know
what
the Chorek
said.
Yeah, have to wash in the morning. We are not allowed to wash.
Right. We only wash till the... On Yom Kippur, we only wash till the knuckles, but the Kohanim, the Nodi Behuda writes, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Dagon Mevavah, the Kohanim, usually when they wash before Duchanim, don't recite a bracha. Why not? So the Pasuk say, because according to some Rishonim, they can rely on in the Tillus Yadayim Shachris that they washed right before the davening, right before they came to Shul. I have to rely on that, so why do they have to wash it all before they duchen? Because there's one opinion that you have to have taker. And supposed to wash and kibbutz yadayim right immediately before they're about to duchen. So since it's a machlokes, so they have to wash tekev samach immediately prior to the duchening, or it's even good if they wash in the morning. So we go lechumra both directions. Go lechumra, we require of them they should wash immediately before they go to duchen, but we tell them not to say a bracha, because maybe it was sufficient with the kibbutz yadayim that they did in the morning before they went to shul. So the Dodim Rebbe says, but how can it be sufficient if on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av they only wash till here? And the Kohanim have to wash till here. So he says that Kohanim on Yom Kippur have to wash, Yom Kippur morning, have to wash all the way till the wrist and say the bracha, so that later they won't have any shiloh with the bracha. They'll be part of him saying the bracha. Right? That's
by,
what he writes.
By Billy, by Meister with Billy, the officer said, tell us good life. Why did you beat me three guys? That Shalosh
Rebbe.
Say it's an Amazon because it's Rebbe.
Three times.
Why you see what Rebbe means times?
Yeah, that means times. No. Sometimes it means times and sometimes it means feet. It all depends on the context of the passage. So let's say when the Quran washed Kirish Adayim Raglayim, based on our Gemara, I would guess, we have to look in the Gemara Chumash to see what it says in Finnish. I would guess that they only have to wash the foot up until the ankle. They don't have to wash till the knee. Chorich just up until the ankle. Chorich should follow like that. This is unrelated to a different topic as to what is called regular Lashem Adam. That's a sugi in Erechim. That's a wealthy person wants to give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, I want to give the weight of my foot in gold. So first, it's very hard to figure out how much the weight of his foot in gold. He's going to put his foot on a scale. So he can put it light or he can press it down very heavy. And Gemara has a whole problem how do you figure out his weight in gold. But once you already figure out how you do that, so what's called the foot? So that doesn't depend on halacha. What the halacha says, that's what Gemara says. Doesn't depend on how much you do for Kinishna Raglan, doesn't depend on how much of a foot is called a foot for halitza purposes. That depends on Lashem Riyadim. What's the figure made? Whatever he said, that's what he has to give. If in Lashem Riyadim they call the foot all the way up until the body, till the top of the thigh, then he has to give the whole foot. If Lashem Riyadim means the bottom part is bottom. If it's up until the knee, then it's a different issue. That's how the Gemara says. So now the Gemara goes on a different topic. Since Derech Agav, we had mentioned about Sisro, that Ben Raglek, or Aaron, a false Shachav, so Rabbi Yechanan has a comment on him. Like, Zecha Tzadik Levrocha V'Shem Rishon Yirkav, the Pasuk says, that whenever you mention a Tzadik, you always have to say Abrocha. Whenever you mention a Rosh, you have to say something bad about it. So they just mentioned a Pasuk about Sisro to indicate what the word Regal means, and the Gemara said that Pasuk is atypical because it's Mishneh Mal Yonaka, Pasuk doesn't want to be explicit about the Ma'is Aveir that they did. So now the Gemara goes and discusses exactly what the Aveir was. Sheva Be'ilos Bo'al Oysoi Rosho Bo'oso Hayom. The woman was an Eshesish. Yoel Eshes Chevra Keni was married. And she was Mezana with him 7 times. How does he know? Shenema, the Pasuk reads, Ben Ragleo Korah Nafal Shachav. So Korah means once. The simple reading in the Pasuk just says that she killed him. In between her feet, she killed him. So the Gemara says it doesn't mean that. But it's a Lashon Nekiyah that he was born Leho 7 times. Ben Raglei Kara is one Lashon Nafal, is another Lashon Shachar. Ben Raglei Kara Nafal. Asher Kara Sham Nafal Shadud. So it says 7 times that he was Mezana with him. What was that all about? The Tosis interprets the Agarat of Rabbi Yechanan that she wanted, number one, to convince him that she is at peace with him, that she's not on the side of the Jews, and she's going to hide him now. And number two, she wanted to put him to sleep. She wanted him to fall asleep so that she would be able to kill him. Then the Pasuk describes in gory details as to how she exactly killed him. She took the peg of the tent and she dished it into his head and she cracked his skull open. So the Medrash says on that Pasuk, why didn't she just take a sword and cut off his head? He was sleeping already. So it says that's la yul bashgeva sin lasisho, that men go with guns and with swords. Women are not supposed to go with weapons. Right. So a woman has to do it in a knife and machine in order not to violate the...
What?
Well, you have to give her Alicia.
A woman can't wear man's clothing? A man can't wear woman's clothing.
Same Pasuk. You must give her to Sim Lasisha, but you have to give her Alicia. Pasuk says that too. And then the Alfred Shimani says on this Pasuk, why did she choose such a bizarre fashion of killing him? So the Alfred Shimani says, because men go with... You don't drift women into the army. How can you drift women in the army? It's not nice. Right, that's what they ask in the Israeli newspapers, Machanus Mitzvah, it says, Afiva Chasim Mechadra Vechala Mechupasa, so the Pashat answer is that somebody has to cook the food also. So they have to do other things. So the women do other work in the war effort. Doesn't mean that they shoot a gun, they shoot a gun. Yeah, that is not permissible. As the source for the use. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva to his granddaughter who lives in Etzion. And Etzion is dangerous. A lot of Arabs there. So he has a tshuva, she permitted to walk with a rifle or not. For self-protection. So he's a rabbi, it's self-protection. What are you going to say? The husband should live on the West Bank and the wife should live in Yerushalayim. If they live there, they live there. So she has to walk with a gun. What is she going to walk with a peg? With a he says, if you have no brayers, it's pitoch nefesh, it's mutter. But if you have a brayer, if you have an option of doing it otherwise, somebody you should avoid it. Okay. So the Pasuk makes it very clear that this, that's how the Medrash understands that this was her idea. Yoel Eishes Chevrakeni was a religious woman, but this was all her idea to get Sisera to believe that she's at peace with him, and he shouldn't be afraid, and he should go to sleep, and to knock him out, and he should be tired. So he fell asleep, and then she killed him. So the Gemara is bothered with Akasha. How could she do this? How could the Eishes Ish be Mizana with Sisera? Frek the Gemara, Gival Gishriin, Hakom is Hanyo Me Aveiro. She's having Hanor from an Aveira. So Taisus is bothered with Akasha. What do you mean, Kom is Hanyo Me Aveiro? Frek Akasha. She's Eivran Loisino. What kind of a funny Kasha? She's having Hanor from an Aveira. What if I do Aveira and I don't have Hanor? It's that man is bought legislation and he doesn't enjoy it. That's mutter. It's only not there if he has hanor. It's not true. It says in the Torah like sinner, but he has hanor, he doesn't have hanor. And Isha is also not there. Whether the Isha or the Isha is not there. So that's what Taisus asks. Taisus doesn't understand this Taisus. What's the kasha comes on him there? Ask a kasha, she's doing an aver. Elamai. No, that you can't ask a kasha, she's doing an aver. Why not? Because it's bikuach nefesh.
No,
what? The Tzaddik says, what Pikuach Nefesh? Because Nefesh for her. Her life wasn't in danger. He didn't come to kill her. So on this Gemara, the Poskim say, based on this Tzaddik, that it was permissible. Normally we say that Avodah Zarah or Gilui Arayis. Or Ritzicha, Shvichas Domin, Yehoreg Lo Yavi. Not permitted to violate Gilui Arayis even to save somebody's life, to save your life, his life, her life, to save someone's life. What happens, let's say, the post can describe the following situation. Let's say bandits come and they hold up a caravan, a group of people traveling on the road, and they're going to kill everybody. And one of the Jewish women who's traveling in the caravan is attractive, and she goes over to one of the pirates, one of the bandits, and she speaks to him, and she says she's going to be mizana with him, and she appeases him. After being mizana, she appeases him. So is it permissible to violate Gilui Arayis to save the lives of all the group? Not only is she saving her own life, to save her own life, then we say that Yehoreg Lo Yavi. You're not permitted to violate Gilui Arayis even to save your life. What about to save the life of a whole group? Let's say there's a million. Let's say there's a man's million. Let's say there are 10 men. Let's say 100 people in a group. So are you permitted to do Gilui Arayis in order to save the lives of a whole group? So the person will say no, just like you're not permitted to do Gilui Arayis to save the life of a Yachid, you're not permitted to violate Avodah Zarah or Gilui Arayis or Shvichas Domin to save the life of the group. But what if Klal Yisrael's life is at stake? What if Klal Yisrael is in danger? Here there was a war going on at that time in Eretz Yisrael. So her idea in killing Sisera was to wipe out the enemy. She felt that this was a major step in saving Klal Yisrael at that time. So that's what the Mefarshim on this Gemara say, that's mutter, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. For Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, it's permissible to violate Gilui Arayis.
Isn't that what we learned last week in Sanhedrin by Esther? One of the reasons we made Esther mutter to go to Ahasuerus, even she did not have to worry about
That's what some Rishonim say. Another Rishonim disagree. Okay. An Achanami. Okay. No, she would be mutter to do it in order to save her life, in order to save someone's life, because it's not called Gilui Arayis, right?
But this
he tied it, you wouldn't even need Klal Yisrael. He tied it like this, the Rabbeinu Tam, right, the Rabbeinu Tam in the beginning of Ksubis. Rabbeinu Tam in Ksubis on Daf Gimel Amud Beis has a Chiddush Niflo, a Chiddush Lalocha, that if a Jewish woman is married, so she's an Eishes Ish, and she goes and she's Mizana, she has an affair with a Nochri, so this would not be punished with Oynish Misa. That Bias Nochri Lav Shma Bir. Al Pidin, it's not called a Maisa Bir. So therefore the Rabbeinu Tam says, if a Jewish woman is being threatened by a Nochri, that either she should be Mizana with him or he's going to kill her, he says this is not called Gilia Rives, because the Bias Satan Lav Shma Bir, it's a different Isa, but it's not called Gilia Rives. So you wouldn't say Yehoi Val Yahra, just like, let's say, if someone comes with a gun to a kohen, and they tell a kohen he should be mizana with a grusha, or he should be mizana with a zayna, or a chalolo. So that's not gili arayis. Gili arayis is only if it's chavi krisis, and eshesish, apu alimo, apu albito, but a chavi lava not, even though it's a znus. You don't say anything that has to do with that aver is Yehoi Val Yahra. So to over here, the Rabbeinu Tam has a chiddush that if a Jewish woman is mizana with a goyish person, that's not called gilui arayis. So shaila we pass him like that. Right. If it would be with a Jew, then it is called chavi krisis, then it's yehoi goyah. But with a nachri, not. So if you follow the Rabbeinu Tam, then there's no problem over here in this gemara. You can simply say that it's called shari surim. It's a different avera not to have an affair, that a woman shouldn't have an affair with a nachri. But since it's not, strictly speaking, technically speaking, it's not called Gili Arayis, because Bia Satan, Rav Shmadiyah, so the fact that it's Bikroch Nefesh for one Jew would be Mata the Yisra. But the other Rishonim, many Rishonim disagree with that Rabbeinu Tam and that Baal Hamor in Sanhedrin, and they hold that it's not true, that if a Jewish woman is Mizana with a Nochri, it is called Gili Arayis. So that's what the Yisra. So how come the Gemara says over here, and by Esther, that they were permitted to live with Ahasuerus, and she was permitted to be Mizana over here? The Gemara assumes that she was doing the right thing here. So that's what the Beis Shmuel quotes in the name of the Maharik, that for Hatzolos Klal Yisrael it's mutter. What kind of a din is that? That for Hatzolos Klal Yisrael it's mutter. So the Paskim give two interpretations on this. The Chazon Ish is quoted as saying, in the Sifrei Chazon Ish it doesn't appear, but in the biography of the Chazon Ish they write that he gave the following interpretation. This is a difficult one. I'm going to give the easy interpretation second. The more correct one is second. So they quote in the name of the Chazon Ish, the Rebbe gave sort of a it sounds like a drusha vata interpretation of this din. There is a din, let's say a goy comes and he holds a gun to me and he says he's going to kill me unless I eat a chazon. So the din is that pikroch nefesh is derech the iser of eating chazon. Let's say a goy comes with a gun, he's going to kill me unless I cook him some food, Shabbos or some challah, whatever. So pikuach nefesh is deicho all isur, unless he comes with a gun and he threatens to kill me, unless I do avodah zarah, of gilui arayis, or shvichas damim, so then I say yehoreg v'yav. What if he threatens to kill me unless I'll be mechal Shabbos in public in front of another 10 Jews? So then the Gemara says if the aver is going to be done b'farhesya, and he intends lahabireini aladas, his intention is to break my religious observance. That's time he doesn't know what it's all about and he wants me to cook him some food on Shabbos, he doesn't know today's Shabbos. He doesn't know Jews are not allowed to cook on Shabbos. That's called lahanoas atzma. So if the goy's interest is only lahanoas atzma and he's not lahavar aladas, then the Gemara says in Sanhedrin you don't apply the din of Yehoi Val Yahra. But if the intention of the Nochri clearly is lahavir al hadas, he wants to cause the Jew to violate his religion, and he causes him to do so bifarhesi in public, then the din is that Yehoi Val Yahra. Why is it Yehoi Val Yahra? What happened all of a sudden? Chal Shabbos Zayin Bitzine, Chal Shabbos Zayin Bitzine is Bikroch Nefesh, is Doicha the Aveir of Chil Shabbos. All of a sudden, to be Mechal Shabbos, to cook the chazer, to cook the basa b'chala, but to eat the tray for food, the fahesia, all of a sudden becomes your heart by Yahba. Why? Means it's Chil Hashem, and Aver, done in public, is Chil Hashem. So you see from the Gemara, so what do you see from the Gemara? That saving the life of a Yisrael, Pikuach Nefesh, is above, is more important than all the other, let's say there's 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So three of them, Avodizar, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. Gili Arayis includes much more than one. I'm counting three. It's not exactly true. Gili Arayis includes Eishisish, Abu Alim, Abu Alpito, Abu Alachoso, all the whole list of people who are Chavi Krisis. But let's say for our purposes, we'll say the Gimel Averis Achamuris, namely Avodizar, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. So there I consider them more important than Pikroch Nefesh. But on the other hand, Pikroch Nefesh is more important than all other Yisurei Torah. But what happens if the Yisuritar are being done with Farhesia, then the Gemara calls it Chilul Hashem. Unless the Chalul Hashem Kodshim, and Igdash to the Sofim and Yisom, and Aver, is done with Farhesia, it's Chilul Hashem by Rabin. So then I say that Chilul Hashem is above Chil Hashem is above Pikuach Nefesh. So now the shaila is, how high above Pikuach Nefesh is it? It's above. Does it go? We have three madregas. We have Gimel Averus HaHamuris is above Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh is above the other 610 mitzvahs in the Torah. Now where would I place Chil Hashem? I say Chil Hashem to explain the din that the Avera Dama for Hesia, you're not allowed to do the Avera. You say you heard by Yavor. You can say the Chil Hashem is above Pikuach Nefesh, but you don't have to say that it's above the Gimel Averus HaHamuris. Or should I say no? The Chil Hashem is the top of the list. It's even above the Gimel Averus HaHamuris. What's the difference? So the Chazon Ish says this is the Pshat. The Klal Yisrael should be wiped out. That's called Chil Hashem. So he says that's the Pshat. That for Hatzolos Klal Yisrael, for Hatzolos HaYochid, for Hatzolos HaRabim, a group of 150 people, you're not permitted to do Gilei Arayis. But to do Gilei Arayis for the sake of Hatzolos Klal Yisrael, then we say that that's already called, if Klal Yisrael would be wiped out, that would be Chil Hashem. And Chil Hashem is higher than everything. Chil Hashem is above even the Gimel Averus HaHamuris. Whatever is above is Dechel, whatever is below. The majority of the stuff, and the majority of Klal Yisrael, right? It's the majority of Klal Yisrael, or let's say Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Even if those who live in Eretz Yisrael are the minority of the Jewish population, that they're called Klal Yisrael. So on that occasion of the war between Bnei Yisrael and Sisera, the Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael were in Sakon. So for Hatzolos Klal Yisrael Tzmuta. That's what the biography of the Chazon Ish quotes in the name of the Chazon Ish. It's a little bit Rusha Vata. The other Paskim seem to learn a different shot in the Gemara. The Keren Oira on his Gemara, and the Keren Oira on Nozir has a similar comment, on Nozir on Dab Chav Gimel, the Gemara that plays his quotes. That's the way it seems to be in Shulchan Aruch, that this is a different din. It's not the hierarchy, the system of hierarchies that they quote in the name of the Chazon Ish, that Chil Hashem is on top. Then you have Gimel Averus HaHamuris. Then you have Pikuach Nefesh, and then you have Shari Suri Torah. And whatever is above is Lecha, whatever. The other Paskin seem to learn a different shot, that really, in principle, the din is that Gimel Averus HaHamuris, Aved Zorah, or Gili Arayis, or Shvichas Gomin, the din is the Hargva Yavor, that it's not, that these are not mutar mishum pikuach nefesh. But there's another heter. We have another klal that even if something is not mutar mishum pikuach nefesh, we sometimes have a klal, chatei b'shvil shetiske. We sometimes recommend to a person that he should do an avera if the person is in a dilemma. A person is in a dilemma and he's faced with two alternatives, both of which are no good. He's faced with three or more alternatives, whatever. All the alternatives are taken. Whatever he's going to do is not going to be any good. So what do you do? So that's what we mentioned, the name of Rav Lezer Shach. A few years ago, the Aguda joined the coalition government. Gaval, the Aguda joined the Israeli government? So one of the big Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, whose name will not be mentioned tonight, sent a letter to Rav Lezer Shach, which he sent all over the world. Gaval, the Aguda joined the government. Tachana Veire Chamura. How can you join the Israeli government? That's terrible. The Tzionim, he joined the Tzionim. So Rav Lezer Shach had to defend himself. I don't know exactly why he had to defend himself. Because he passed for them and they should join the Aguda. So he sent a letter to Rav Shnia Kotler, who was still alive. That's his cousin, I think. And he apparently asked Rav Shnia Kotler to be Messiah. But the Gemara has a whole story about this. You have to be Boicha B'Miu Tara. There is a din if a person is faced with a dilemma and he has three or four or five alternatives, he has to choose the lesser, the least offensive one. So that's one consideration. Shevi Altas says, less of an aver than Kumbi Asay. But the Gemara has many other considerations. Sometimes the Kumbi Asay alternative is considered a lesser aver than the Shevi Altas alternative. So Lezer Shach writes in his Natsluz, we were faced with two alternatives. Either we should not join the government and have these tzionim run the country the way they want, or we'll do the aveira of joining the government and be misakin a little bit. So we decided that it's less avad, it's an aveira chamura to join the government, leis man betalik, no question about it, to join the Israeli government, but it's less of an aveira to join the government than not to join the government. Because that would have been worse. That's what he writes. That's the clock. So here, many pastors say, what is that based on? What kind of a din is that? That you choose the lesser of the two evils. What's the din? It's an avera, no? To join the government. Or whatever avera we're talking about. So it's an avera, so how are you allowed to do it? So why not always say there's only one klal? Shevi al tasa, just be passive and don't do anything. Are you having an avera to shevi al tasa? Oynes rachmana patre. But why do you choose to do an avera b'kum v'yaseh? You're not an onus on that. You're an onus on the shevi al tasa. What is that klal based on?
Hashem can supply
Oh, so obviously there is some kind of a... In Erev and Daf Kuf, where the Gemara has a whole sugya about this, you have to be boicha b'miutara. There is a din if a person is faced with a dilemma, and he has three or four or five alternatives, he has to choose the lesser, the least offensive one. So that's one consideration. Shevi Alkas says, less of an aver than kumbi asay. But the Gemara has many other considerations. Sometimes the kumbi asay alternative is considered a lesser aver than the Shevi Alkas alternative. So Blazer Shach writes in his Natslus, we were faced with two alternatives. Either we should not join the government and have these tzioinim run the country the way they want, or we'll do the aver of joining the government and be misakin a little bit. So we decided that it's less avadetz and avera chamura to join the government. Leis man v'palik, no question about it, to join the Israeli government. But it's less of an avera to join the government than not to join the government. Because that would have been worse. That's what he writes. That's the clock. So here, many pastors say, what is that based on? What kind of a din is that? That you choose the lesser of the two evils. What's the din? It's like an aver, no? To join the government. For whatever aver we're talking about. So it's an aver, so how are you allowed to do it? So why not always say there's only one klal? Shevi al tasa, just be passive and don't do anything. I don't have an aver, be shevi al tasa. Oynes rachmana patre. But why do you choose to do an aver, be kumbi al say? You're not an onus on that. You're an onus on the shevi al tasa. What is that klal based on? Oh. So obviously there is some kind of a call of Eis Las Lashem Efer Teresech. Sometimes we say to a person to do an Aver B'kum V'yaseh because you're going to gain something tremendous. So that's the call that the Gemara has, not to gain, let's say, go get a job, be Mechal Shabbos, because you're going to make a lot more money by being Mechal Shabbos. No, that's Chatei B'shul Shetiski Mormon, we don't allow. Even if you're going to make a fortune of money, you're not allowed to do any Aver, let alone Chil Shabbos, up until the point of the Sakona, Safik Sakona. If the person's life is the sakana, the suffix sakana, someone's life is the sakana, then you're permitted to violate an avera. But otherwise, there's no heter, just for parnasa purposes. But if a person will gain a ruchnius, then we sometimes allow chatei bishvil shetiske, or chatei bishvil sheyiske chavercha, the marshal. In the Shulchan Aruch, they have a din, a man is notified that he's in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Shabbos. The Mechaber quotes the din based on Yishan, based on the Tesis in Shabbos. A man is notified that the Goyim kidnapped his daughter and is going to bring her to a nunnery and bring her up as raise her as a Christian. And unless he's going to be Mechal Shabbos now to do something about it today, on Shabbos, she'll be lost to the Jewish religion. So the Shulchan Aruch says that he's permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. Me'ezer din, it'll not be kroch nefesh. It's the kroch nefesh to save her nefesh. But strictly speaking, kroch nefesh doesn't mean that. Kroch nefesh means when the person's physical existence is in danger. But if his ruchnius is in danger, that's not called pikoch nefesh al pipashni. So what's the heter? So the Mechaber writes in the Beis Yosef, he writes a whole arich about kochatei, yishvul sheyiske havercho. That if it looks like it's a very valuable investment, let's say if he thinks that he's going to make his daughter do an Aveira, a one-shot affair, do an Aveira today just for a week, but not for the rest of her life, then he's not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to spare her from those Aveiras. But if he thinks they're going to make her into a Mishamedes for the rest of her life, then I say, in such a serious situation, Chatei b'shul sheyizkeh Aveira. If it seems like a very good, let's say, Bikuach Nefesh is Berichah Yisurei Torah, even if it's a Sophic Bikuach Nefesh, even if it looks like the person is going to die anyway, or it looks like the person will survive anyway, but there is a chance that being Mechal Shabbos will save his life, then I say you have to be Mechal Shabbos because of that far out possibility. Even though it's only a Sophic Rochai, even though the rope is that I'm not going to accomplish Bikuach Nefesh, because Bein Kol V'Kol, the fellow is going to die, or Bein Kol V'Kol, the fellow will survive. I still say if there's any Sophic, so Sophic Bikuach Nefesh is also Berichah Shabbos. But here, this is not a din of Bikuach Nefesh, this is a din of Chatei B'shul Shetiskeh, Chatei B'shul Sheyizkeh HaVerchah. So this is only mutter if it looks like it's a very solid investment, like businessmen. Businessmen invest. You put in $100,000 in a business. What are you spending $100,000 for down the drain? No, you expect to get $1 billion. You're going to get $1 million out of it. But sometimes you have to make a hashka, sometimes you have to make an investment. If you have to ask a person in business whether it makes sense or not. You have to ask a rabbi on such a thing. A person shouldn't take it into his own hands. You have to ask a rabbi. If I'm a chacham, do you think that this risk is worth taking? You think I should do this? Is this a little avera and I'm going to gain a lot? Or you say, no, fakir, the avera that you're doing is 10 times worse than what you're going to gain. So you have to judge. You have to know how to judge. Is it kedai or not? Is it kedai based on, is it an avera kalo in order to gain a lot in ruchnias? And how much of a vados is it? If it's a 50-50 chance, that's not a good investment. If it would be your money, you wouldn't invest money like that. I'm going to invest $100,000, 50-50 chance that I may gain and I may lose. So the stomach normal people wouldn't do that unless they're multi-millionaires and they can throw out $100,000 of garnish. So it has to be a hashka'ah, it has to be an investment that's kedai both considering the levels of the averas, and it has to be kedai considering the likelihood of what the result is going to be. So that's what the conventional post can assume that the pshat in this halacha is. That this is halacha of chatei b'shul shetizikeh or chatei b'shul sheyizkeh havercha. That although normally we say that one is forbidden to violate gilui arayos for the sake of pikuach nefesh of a yachid, of pikuach nefesh of a group, or even pikuach nefesh of kol yisrael, that's not a heter of pikuach nefesh, but it's we let you do it on your own if you want to. Chatei b'shul sheyizkeh havercha. We say, go do the Aveira if you really stand to gain a lot. To say that it's not Bikuach Nefesh. Let's say if a man drives his wife to the hospital because she's going to have a baby, we consider that Bikuach Nefesh. Later on he has to clap Achet, that is Mechal Shabbos. It's Het Gomer. You don't have to have any kapor. What if a person does this kind of a business, he does Chatei, Bishvil Sheyizkeh. The Gemara has various cases where we allow it. But then the Gemara says you need a kapor. The Gemara says you need a kapara. It is called chatei. It is a chet. There is no hetos for the chet. What's a good example? The Gemara has two examples, but they're not exactly what we would consider. But that these are the two the Gemara has. What is l'mashal? A nazir is nikra chote. Anyone who accepts the panasat naziris is considered a chote. So how do we allow anybody to accept naziris? He's doing a sin. Ziratzim and Ayayin, asceticism is an Avera. So the answer is no. He realizes that he has Tivus and he wants to control himself. So what he stands to gain by being a Nazir for a month is going to be much more in the area of Ruchnius than what he stands to lose by being an ascetic for the month. So we say that at the Bechina of Chatei, the Shvil Shetiske, do this Avera Kala of observing Ziratzim and Ayayin, be Mitzar yourself a little bit, which really is an Avera, in order to curtail your Yetzirah a little bit, in order to learn to control your Yetzirah a little bit. So he did an Aveira, he's doing an Aveira, in order to gain some great Hatzloch and Ruchnius later, but he needs a Kapar for that. So that's why Blazar Kapar says that he has to bring a Chatus, Ashachot Al HaNefesh, Shetzirat Minayan. He needs a Kapar for that. Or Taisis quotes another Gemara. Taisis puts this Gemara together with this. If a person had a very, very terrible dream on Friday night, so we allow him to fast on Shabbos at Tainus Chaloyim. Tainus Chaloyim, Shulchan Aruch says, you're not mechuyev. But if a person is really aggravated about it, so we allow him to fast. Haitz and Avera to fast on Esim on Shabbos.
Is it Avera? Is it Avera? Or is it just mechuyev? You can be mechuyev by someone you want to. You don't feel like eating because you don't want to.
No, that's a different thing. He says in Shulchan Aruch that those people are so used to fasting, Tanaishim, that they enjoy fasting better than eating. Not anybody in this room. So the people in the Middle Ages used to enjoy fasting better than eating. So on Shabbos, they're not mechuyev to eat sudas at all. Let them fast, and that'll be their Rainik Shabbos. But what happens if a person normally does enjoy eating food, but just had such a miserable dream that he thinks he better fast in order to break the nevuah? The Gemara says that a dream is after the shish and the nevuah. He wants to break the nevuah angle, the nevuah aspect of the haloi bra. So then we allow him to fast on Shabbos, but then he has to fast on Sunday. So in order to get a kapara for the avera fasting on Shabbos, the Tosafot says, what's going on here? Marushah. I tell him not to fast on Shabbos. The answer is no, he has to fast. What does he need a kapara for? The Tosafot says, no, it's the same as the Nazir. He's really doing an avera kala. And there's no heter for that avera kala. It's really us. But he's faced with a dilemma. He has two breiris. Either he's going to fast or he's not going to fast. If he's not going to fast, he's going to be ruining his whole Shabbos. He's going to be nervous about the dream. If he is going to fast, he'll be fulfilling Kvayt Shabbos and Einik Shabbos. But then on the other hand, he's violating Einik Shabbos by fasting. So we have to make our cheshbon. So we say that this is more important than that. We don't have any heter. It's not Eser Derech Leisase. It's not a heter of Pikuach Nefesh. If you have Eser Derech Leisase, a Pikuach Nefesh is Deches, it's Deches. So you don't have to clap our head. You don't need a kapara. You didn't do anything wrong. Here you are doing something wrong, but it's Allah, like investing. We allow you to invest in Ruchnis. Usually, we usually say that Judaism does not believe that the ends justify the means. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Nefesh HaChayim, because the Chassidim always used to say like that. So the Chassidim would go to, on Shabbos morning, go to Chassidish Shtibul. So we go to Mikveh in the morning, and then the Ma'aveh Sedra, and then they start saying Tilim, and then they know with the kids Gemara, and everything but Davin. And they get to Davin at 11:30 in the morning. But Mamash after his money. Tefillah, man, Krishna, man, everything. Everything is after this man. Let's say on Pesach night, so some chassidim start making achanas, go to mikveh, invite the achanas, and they get to begin to say their way so late. They don't eat the matzah before chatzos. So isn't it against all halacha? So the original chassidim, when they instituted these practices, they said, this is chatei b'shul shetiske. Agdei l'averi l'shmo. The averis they're doing, everything is l'shmo. They're doing all the averis l'shmo. So Chaim Volozhiner wrote his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim to attack the chassidim. So he says, that was only Kodim Matan Torah. Avera Lishma was only Kodim Matan Torah. Nitna Torah in Ischad Shalach, after the Torah was given, you have to follow every din in the Torah to the letter. There's no longer an idea of Avera Lishma. You have to follow what it says on the books and that's all. You can't take the law into your own hand. So in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim he writes, it just doesn't exist. It doesn't exist after Matan Torah. Kodim Matan Torah you had, the Yankov Avinu married two sisters, that was Avera Lishma. Other things, other rabbis did Avera Lishma. But after the Torah was given, there's no longer any heter to do any Averis Lishma. But the Talmidim... Oh, so the Talmidim, that was after Matan Torah? So the Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, but Baal Peh, that's what he wrote in his Sefer, he had exaggerated a little bit, because he's attacking the Chassidim. So he exaggerated and he said, we never believe in the ends justifying the means. But Baal Peh, he told the Talmidim that it's not exactly true. In rare instances, we do have a cloud of Chatei Bishul Shetiske. Sometimes we do allow the ends to justify the means. So for example, let's say I want to cheat on government programs in order to make my own yeshiva. It's a little aveira. So you have to ask a shaila of a competent Orthodox rabbi to ask, is that a little aveira and is that a big mitzvah or not? So Mr. Noah, the rabbi, would say, if not, that's a bigger aveira. Then to cheat the government is it gets a lot of disaster. And if you won't have the yeshiva, tell me to go to the other yeshivas. The Felsenstein is more than plenty of yeshivas in America. There are more than enough yeshivas in America. So you have to know whether you're making a correct cheshbon or not. In principle, in theory, there is such a cloud. Chatei b'shul shetiske, chatei b'shul sheyiske chavercha. But you have to make sure that your investment is a worthwhile investment. Number one, what's the likelihood of succeeding? What's the likelihood of not succeeding without making this investment? And number two, how do the averis compare? A body is faced with a dilemma. They know yeshivas are all, and the only way to make yeshivas is by cheating the government. Those are the facts. So then you have to see, you have to weigh and measure the possibilities. Moshe Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that just came out this summer in his new Yiddish Moshe. Let's say you have a yeshiva, you have a Ramaz yeshiva. So yeshiva is only for Jewish children, as I understand. What if you have, let's say, in a community, you have a man who's married to a woman who's not Jewish, and they have children. And they belong to the Reform temple, whatever. They think that they're Jewish and their children are Jewish and so on. And we can't convince them otherwise. And they want to send their children to the yeshiva. So we say, no, we can't accept your children. So the Rav Moshe said, what's going to happen? In New York City, you can afford to say, we don't accept your children. And Ramah, the Yeshiva University, and Chaim Berlin, and Tiferes Yerushalayim, and whatever, Torah V'Das, they'll all exist without this fellow's money. What if you live out of town in Beiberik? What if you live out of town somewhere, and if you won't accept that kid to the school, they will make such a tumult, the whole school will be closed down. They will make sure that nobody gives any money to the school, and be goodbye. So the Jewish children who are Vadai Jewish will not get any Jewish education. So Avadah is an Avera to take in non-Jewish children to the school. You're teaching Torah to Goyim, you're encouraging the kids to marry each other, there's a chashash of Litna Iver, they're going to be intermarried, maybe intermarriage. You may be misleading people to believe this, you may be misleading people into believing that this Jew is really Jewish, that the Reform conversion is good. So that's what Rav Moshe says, but if you have no Breira, if you're afraid that there won't be any Jewish education to anybody, so he says there's no Heter, he's not saying it's Mutter, but he says that's Allah, but Hatei Bishul Shetizka, Hatei Bishul Shetizka Havercha. But you can't, but you have to be honest in each case, you have to judge with a lot of honesty and sincerity, is it really so? Not stop, oh, I'm afraid they're going to close down the whole day school so we can take in all the goy. You have to judge in each and every case individually, is it so or is it not so?
How about, see, is there any connection to the
that why he has the kasha on the seven times.
Could be.
So Tesis interprets that this is, let me just finish this. So Tesis interprets that this is the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara here is bothered, but this kasha, Vakomisanya Me'avera, truly have a din that we apply very rarely. You have to judge it in case by case individually. When do we allow? We don't really, it's not a heter. There's no heter. Esed Dechola says it's Mutter Lagamre. Koch Nefesh is Mutter Lagamre. But this is not a heter. This is a Yestok. So the Leis Berit. Allah says, Chatei Bishul Shetizke. It's learned that from Sukkim, that you have to make a calculation and invest wisely. So the Gemara says, but we only allow you to do the Avera because, normally we would say Shevi Al Tasa order. To do the Avera, the Shevi Al Tasa, so you'll be honest on that. Why give the Kumbi Asay? But sometimes we say no. We prefer that you should do the Avera Bikumi Asay rather than do the other Avera B'Shevi Al Tasa because you're going to gain more this way in Ruchmi, it's not money. You're going to gain more this way than that way. But the Gemara says that there's a hitch over here. The Gemara says in Nazir, not over here, Tesis quotes from Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel, then it has to be an Avera B'Shmo. Avera B'Shmo means that it's purely religiously motivated, just like we said Abishol. Abishol says that the Yidam has to be done B'Shmo. What do you mean B'Shmo? Religiously motivated. So here too, the only time you allow Chatei Bishul Shetizke is if the Avera is done Lishma, purely Lishma with no Pneus, where the person doesn't stand to gain anything personally. So the Gemara Frek Takasha, how is Yoel, Eishes Chevra Akeni permitted to do this Avera Lishma? The Hatzalas probably saw fine its Mutter. You see, if you learn the Pshat, the way they quote from the Chazon Ish, that everything goes with hierarchies. That Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem is the highest. And then you have Gimel Averis HaHamur, and then you have Tuach Nevesh, and then you have the other Averis in the Torah. So if it goes with the hierarchy, so what's the problem? Kiddush Hashem, Fahatzal is Chalisol, so it's not the even Gilead right. So what's the kash? That's why the Paschim don't say like they quote from the Chazon Ish. The Paschim say that the Geder Adin here is Chatei Bishul Shetizke. And Chatei Bishul Shetizke is Amacher of Gedoel Averis Lishmo. Normally mitzvahs don't have to be done l'shma. Let's say a person comes into shul and he davens every day. If there wouldn't be anybody else watching him, he wouldn't come to shul. He comes to shul because everybody watches him and they all give him kovod, whatever, they're going to give him an aliyah, choshev aliyah, so that's why he practices his religion. So even though he's not religiously motivated, but he knows he's doing a mitzvah, so that's called kavan. He has kavan a lot, even though he's not religiously motivated, that's not called shalom l'shma. But to do an aveira, chatei b'shul shetizke, there's a condition has to be dafka aveira l'shma. So that the Gemara asks, Hakam Isanya Me Aveira? What kind of an Aveira Lishmo? How do we give her a heter? How does the Pasuk praise her? And Shira's Dvaira. Dvaira praises Yoel. Tevorach Minashim Yoel Eishes Chever HaKedesh. She should be blessed more than Sora Rivka Rochav Aleia. Minashim Boyel Tevorach for those who were Boyel. Like Hinei Boyel by Sora. Why? Because she did this Aveira Lishmo. So the Gemara asks, why should she be praised so much because of Aveira Lishmo? What kind of Lishmo? It was Shalom Lishmo. She had private pneus in this. She had Hanor from the Aver. So to that, the Gemara quotes, Rabbi Yechanan quotes, and then Rav Shimon bar Yochai, called Tavas Mishal Lashon, Rahi Eti Tzadikim. So that's not called a Hanor. There was no Hanor. Physically, she didn't have any Hanor. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why. What do you mean she didn't have any Hanor? That's the next topic in the Gemara. But this is the klal that unfortunately we live with in our generation very often. We have to live with these difficult situations of dilemmas. That Rav Leizer Shach has to never fast, and that the Agud is allowed to join the Memshalah. And we in America have, on our level, we have to allow sometimes non-Jewish children to attend yeshivas if we have a big Shas Atchag Gadol, and if we won't let them in, so we are really afraid that the whole school will collapse. So then Rav Moshe writes in his Sefer that then we consider that in our Avera Lishma we're allowed to do it. But there's another hitch over here, there's another condition. Let's say a group of people want to establish a day school, and they know that it won't work. The only way to establish a day school for the Jewish children is it's impossible for us to have the support from the Reform of the Conservatives, and they will only accept, they will only help support this day school. They'll be run by Orthodox and Pial Paris, I kind of find, only if they have an official policy, only if they have an official policy that they take in anyone who claims to be Jewish, even if only the father is Jewish, even if it's a conservative conversion, whatever. What if we're faced with a situation that they have an official policy like that? Would that be permissible? So the pashtus is that that's not allowed. That's a different alternative. If you have a school and the official policy is we only take in Jews. And then under the table we have no prayer. We have to take in. So we hush it up and we do our prayer. We do our prayer with a shema. We have no prayer. Otherwise the whole existence of the school is in danger. But if they have an official policy that we accept anyone who claims to be Jewish, that's a different avera. That's an avera of Riyut HaTorah. To misrepresent Torah, we're having an official policy that anyone who says that he's Jewish is Jewish. Like they write now in their magazines, anyone whom Hitler would have burnt in the oven, a new person, Hitler. Anyone whom Hitler would have burnt in the oven should be considered Jewish. Someone wrote recently an essay in Moment magazine, a conservative clergyman from California wrote an essay there. Gival Gishrin, in the Gemara you find so many machlokes in between Bisham and Bisilum. The Gemara says they live in a kimkayim. The Gemara says that they live in peace and harmony together. So why can't the Orthodox live together with the Reconstruction? Reconstruction don't believe in God. Why can't the Reconstruction and the Orthodox live together? It's like elu v'elu divrei l'kimkayim. The fellow writes, he remembers his good old days when he learned in Yeshiva College under Olam Hashalom, under Rabbi Luxti. He quotes Rabbi Luxti, Tadim Avazim. He quotes Dr. Lim. He quotes a line from everybody. And he puts it all together that everybody holds from Eilu V'Eilu Divrei L'Kimchayim. Everybody holds. So we should all accept what everybody else has to say. We should all accept the conservative with the reform, with the reconstructionist. And after we'll accept everything, then we'll all start working out the deals, what they should accept, what we should accept, and so on. So the fellow has such a misleading article. He quotes that Bisham and Bisil lived in peace together, but then he quotes also the Mishnah Yevamos. That when there would be a child born to Beis Shammai, that Bisil held was a mamzer, they would not marry the child. They would notify each other, they would say, "This, oh, you're not allowed to marry this child is a mamzer, if he's around." He quotes that. In English, he quotes it. They lived in peace and harmony because everything was based on the belief that Torah min HaShemayim. And there's a cloud, if people are basing themselves on the same Seder Samunah, if the same belief in one God in heaven, and the same principles of Torah min HaShemayim. They didn't marry, but the Mishnah says, he quotes, this conservative clergyman quotes, that the Gemara says in the first parak in Yevamos, when there would be a child who the Beisil would be a mamzer, so the Beishamad would notify the Beisil that you're not allowed to marry this child. So there was no problem, no one would be nishul on anything. So based on that Gemara, which he translates correctly, he says you should all accept everybody and marry everybody. Eilu v'eilu divrei l'kimchayim. So you believe in God, or you don't believe in God. How can you say Eilu v'eilu divrei l'kimchayim? So let's say if a school, in order to exist, will have to establish an official policy that they'll take in anyone who claims to be Jewish. That's a different problem. That's not called an aveira l'shma. That's an aveira of zil fatera. So that we have the poskim say l'aloha, that's not considered a slight aveira, which for the purpose of chinuch of the Jewish children, that the Jewish children shouldn't assimilate, that we would violate this slight avera. That's considered a very major avera. That's considered an extremely major avera. The Gemara in Bava Kamma tells that when the Roman government sent two messengers to the Tanaim to teach them Kol HaTorah Kulo, so they asked specific questions. What's the din if the life of a non-Jew is in danger and he permitted to be in Chal Shabbos? They said, no. And what's the din if a Jewish animal, an animal belongs to a Jew, damages property that belongs to a non-Jew? They said, Pater. What if the non-Jew's animal damages the Jewish animal? It says, Ben Tamben Wood Mishalim Ezechon. I told Moladinim straight. And then the Gemara doesn't tell the whole story, but the Mishalmi and the Sifrei tell the rest of the story, that they said, even though these laws are mamish discriminatory against the non-Jews, but they said, since the rest of the Torah was very impressive, they're not going to master to the Roman government. And then the Medrash continues, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't trust them, and he caused them to forget these dinim, so that when they came back to Rome, they said, there are no discriminatory laws in the Torah, everything is hunky-dory, it's a gevalt. The Jews don't discriminate against the Romans. So the Maharshal in his commentary on that, Gimon Babakam, Daphama Chesed, yes. What were the Tanoi morons? They didn't understand that the Hashas was HaKomet. There was no Torah Shabbat Peh written down, so tell them a lie. They didn't have any Sansina. So tell them a lie. Tell them that we're Mechal Shabbos for the Jews and for the non-Jews, and everything is the same. We treat all people equally, like many Orthodox rabbis say today. Tell them a lie. Tell them we treat everybody equally. So he says, you're not allowed to do that. He says, Ziyuf HaTorah, to misrepresent the laws of the Torah, is considered such an Avera Hamura, that even if you think that there's going to be a Psashtikala Pogrom, or a big Shasa Sakone, that the Roman government is going to make some kind of persecution against the Jews, you don't say Chatevish Vil Shetiske. That's not an Avera Kala in order to gain a lot in Ruchnias. Even if they close down all the yeshivas, you're not permitted to do Ziyuf HaTorah. That's Mamish Leila Shetiske, right?
Ziyuf HaTorah, when he made the Mabu Mubu Kutchim,
Shema Yemer, right. If people will say that the rabbis have approved something which is Keneged Adin, if they'll say the rabbis did an Aver, so they did an Aver. But if they're going to say the rabbis paskin this and that, and that's Keneged Adin, that's Ziyuf HaTorah. So to misrepresent Halacha. No, the Gemara has that. Shema Yemer, the Gemara says, he was afraid that the people will walk away with a mistaken notion.
Why?
That's the question. Why is misrepresenting the laws of the Torah to a non-Jew considered such a serious aver? Oh, so that's a good question. So the Mashal talks a little bit about that. In another svar they discussed, he doesn't explain it fully, but he states it. Anad Gemara, he states it. He says, from that Gemara, from other Gemara, also we see that to misrepresent halacha is much more of an avera hamura than to violate an avera. If you say officially this is my policy that I do averas on the side, so he didn't have air under the table, he didn't have air on the side. But to say officially that's my policy. Right, that's what he just said. That's a serious limitation here. The reason why I'm so excited about this, I'm aggravated about this, is because I delivered a tour at a conference 2.5 months ago, and I was speaking for an hour and a half on this stuff, more than an hour and a half, over 2 hours, on this issue of when they can accept non-Jewish children to schools and so on. So there was a fellow there who was a principal of a co-ed day school from the Midwest who came to the convention. So he went back to his town and he told the members of the board, Rabbi Schechter said, that's the Yeshiva University policy. The charter of their school says that they have to follow the Yeshiva University policy. So Torah Masorah wouldn't accept them because they have a co-ed school. So the only one who would accept them is Yeshiva University. Yeshiva University also doesn't go for co-ed schools. But if the alternative is not to have yeshiva at all, or to have a co-ed school, so you say, like Rav Lezer Shach can join the Rachman Letzlan, the Tzion, and the Tzion, so you say it's better to have a co-ed school than otherwise. If you have Jewish children, won't go to any school at all. What, are they going to go to public schools? So that is better to have a co-ed school. So this fellow went back and he said, Rabbi Shechter said, and that's the yeshiva university policy, that you can accept anyone who says that he's Jewish. So the members of the board called me up, said, yes, is that what you said? I can't believe that. That's why I spoke for 2 hours. I could have said that in 1 minute. So there's a whole machlokes in the yeshiva now. They have to send letters to the members of the board and have to explain exactly what the policy is. It's a major issue.
Before when you mentioned about the nosir, did the Torah invent the nosir and the nosir invent the I mean, the Torah came up with such a concept of Nazir, right?
Right.
So the Torah put it into somebody's... If you want to call Nazir, you're going to deal with Nazir.
Mm-hmm.
So it means, I understand, it wasn't like I invented, I'm going to take a manger on myself, and all of a sudden, we've got to figure out what the...
Right, but still, the Gemara says that one is only permitted to accept an Ed and Naziris upon himself if he's really going to control him, to train himself in controlling his Yetzer. By the Naziris. But if he's just going to be the common Naziris, he doesn't have to work on his Midas. He doesn't have to work on his Tidus. He just mekabel nazir, and the Gemara says it's an avera, and there's no avera lishmo. There's no hetav at all in that case.
Because
the Chumash writes he has to bring a korban hashachat al nefesh. The Chumash says that it's an avera. But the Chumash allows it. He's a nazal Hashem if he does it in order to gain more, in order to control his type. But if it's not initial control his type, then there's no hetav. And then it's all our goblets, and it shrinks. That's the concept of Eretz Lechon.
The best
is true.